good to be here tonight again. Thank you all so much for coming. And please be praying for Brother Evans. He's getting ready to come preach for us tonight. If anybody has a special song on your heart you'd like to come sing, then you feel more than welcome. Maybe Brother Evan has one before he preaches tonight. But if not, then we will always be happy to hear the preaching of God's holy word together. Please be praying for Sister Tracy Adkins, that the Lord would continue to touch and help her after her surgery. We've got some that are away traveling. The Nixes are away out and they're traveling. I believe, is it for their anniversary? I think it was. And so they'll be back soon, but we miss them today. And several, there was one other I'm trying to remember. But you remember these that aren't here. Pray the Lord bring them back safely. We've got a few that are sick. So you be in prayer for these. Brother Evan, you go ahead and come tonight. Preach to us God's holy word. I appreciate Brother Evan, his family. And they are a faithful family, faithful to the church, faithful to serve the Lord. I appreciate Brother Evan's preaching. Every time he's preached, I've got not just a little something out of it. I've got enormous amounts of help and just so much illumination in the scriptures whenever he's preached. And I appreciate that. Appreciate the time that he puts into study. And so you pray for him tonight. Support him. Amen him. Give your undivided attention. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be in church tonight. Say amen. Amen. There is a place somewhere below I've heard and read about. They say that people, when they go, can never come back out. A place of torment for lost souls who've turned the Lord away. They say the fire burns all night because there is no day. Yes, I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that place go. No, I don't have to worry since the Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is the burning in my heart. Eternal life was given me when I was born again. The Lord applied his precious blood and cleansed me from all sin. It set a spark that satisfied my hungry soul's desire. And the only flame that's burning now will keep me from that fire. Yes, I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that place go. No, I don't have to worry since the Savior took my part. And the only fire I'll ever feel is the burning in my heart. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to hell tonight. Ain't you? Amen. I'm glad that there's nothing that nobody can do about it either. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3 is where we're going to be this evening. Exodus chapter number 3. Am I on, Miss Terry? Everything good? And she gave me the Joel Osteen mic tonight. Hey, if it makes it easier on her, I'm for it. And the most overlooked job in the church is the person that sits behind that booth. Unless you've been back there and you've done that job, you don't understand what all it entails. And she does a fantastic job. And I appreciate her. She does a wonderful job. But Exodus chapter number 3 tonight, and I thank the Lord for allowing us to be back and preach his word. What a great privilege it is, and what an honor. And I want to give you a thought this evening, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Very familiar passage of scripture, And if you've been in church your whole life, you've learned from this passage of Scripture since you were just a young child. And but I want to take a look at it kind of from a different perspective tonight, different angle, more than what you would usually hear. May take me a few minutes to get there, so hang with me, okay? Keep your Bible handy. And but Exodus chapter number 3 this evening, and we're going to be looking there around probably verse number 1 or so. And look there with me, verse number 1, we'll read down the first 4 or 5 verses there. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." Now, that already helped me right there, because right there it tells us that Moses was married into a hillbilly family. I mean, right there in your Bible it says his father-in-law's name is Jethro. He probably had a granny. No, I'm just kidding. Some of y'all young people don't have a clue what we're talking about or what I'm referring to. But anyways, it says Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." This evening, I want to draw your attention to verse number 2. And let's look at this bush on the backside of the desert. It's on a mountain in Midian, in a desolate region, in a desert land. But it is that bush that will pivot the life of Moses. And the Bible tells us that this bush, when Moses looks up on the mountain, it wasn't like every other bush. There was something that set that bush apart. There was something that made it unique, and there was something that made it attractive. The Bible said that this bush burned. Is that what your Bible says too? That's what my Bible says. The Bible said it burned. And from this burning bush is birthed the Moses that we know. And I want to say this. I think it was imperative in the plan of God that this bush would be on fire. On fire at that moment in time, on fire on that mountain, but most of all, it was on fire for Moses. This evening, I want you to understand that God has planted us. Man, I'm going to use a phrase from the book of Esther. He's planted us for such a time as this. Where he has planted us, wherever he has planted us, we're not there to be like every other dead, cold, fireless bush. But I believe this evening that it would benefit somebody that watches our lives if you and I would stay on fire for God. Amen? Listen to me. I could give you 1,000 reasons tonight why it's hard. Amen? I can give you 1,000 reasons to say, you know, it'd probably be a good idea just to quit tonight. Times are getting tough. I'm going to start looking for an exit ramp from serving. But I'll tell you this. When we see Jesus face to face one day, it'll be worth it all, church, not to give up. Not to change, not to cool off for him. And I want to preach on this thought for a few minutes this evening, and that is staying on fire for your Moses. Staying on fire for your Moses. Let's pray tonight. Father, I pray that you'd open your word to us, and I pray that you would help us. I pray that you'd encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, we may leave here to serve you better in these dark days that we're living in. In Jesus' name, amen. God works in mysterious ways. We know that. And you've heard it before, and I'll say it again tonight. But God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. And God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And what you and I could even hope to accomplish in our dreams, God can do it very easily in reality. And I guess I could probably say one of the most magnificent things about God is this, that God often uses does extraordinary things through just ordinary things, right? God will use weak things to show that which is mighty. God will take the lowest of the low and do amazing things to bring him glory. And I thought about it like this. Mount Sinai was just another mountain until God chose to speak to Moses, and he did it there. Bethlehem was just a small Judean town until the baby was born. Not for the cradle, but he was born for the cross. Amen. The Jordan River, just a muddy stream until the day that Jesus waded into the water and he was baptized there. The road to Damascus was just another old dusty road until the day that man who was Saul of Tarsus, he came face to face with Jesus and he was saved by the grace of God. I thought about the Isle of Patmos, just another island, until on that island John received the revelation. What I'm saying this evening is this, that God often calls notable things out of nothing. God does great things to the least of things. Now, when I think about God and God working, my mind, it often begins painting some pictures, if you will, of miraculous things. And I begin thinking, I think about a strong wind and a booming voice in the scriptures. I think about the Red Sea parting there and God sending fire down from heaven and all these things. I think about God doing things that you can step back and just be in awe of what he has done. But this evening, I want you to know that sometimes God will do his greatest work, listen to me, to an ordinary bush that just stays on fire. Here in Exodus chapter number 3, our text takes us to the backside of the desert. And there sits this mountain in the land of Midian. It's about 117 miles from the Hebrew nation that is suffering in hard bondage under Pharaoh. And this scene here, it opens up at the base of a mountain called Horeb. And it offers a seat for Moses as he is tending to the flocks of his father-in-law. Now, this is a very powerful lesson that we can learn in this chapter. Now, we're first introduced to Moses in this text. When we're first introduced to him, Moses is simply a son-in-law. That's all he is. He's simply a son-in-law. Moses is simply just a shepherd tending to sheep. Moses is simply a man in the shadows of nowhere serving over that little flock. But what I like is by the end of the chapter, Brother Jeff, Moses has been called by God. He has been commissioned to lead, and he was made a leader of a nation by the end of this chapter. And what I like about that is this, church, don't despise what some may say is the small position. Are you listening to me? Or stand back and you curse the shadow and don't think that you're too big for the little position. Why? Because it is the shadow that can illuminate the spotlight. You listening to me? I promise you this. Anybody that has any kind of platform that they're serving on surely didn't start out there. Amen? They started out serving in the nursing home or serving and volunteering in different places. They were cleaning the carpet. They were scrubbing toilets. But I tell you what God does, that he will bless somebody that has a heart humble enough to serve him, and he'll take that one who is faithful in doing so, the least of things, and set them over and do great things with them. I said all that to say this, keep on serving where you're at, church. Just keep on serving where you're at. Don't be jealous. Don't be looking to advance. Don't look to climb the ladder. Just be faithful where God has planted you, and God will exalt you as he sees fit in his time. Amen? So here in verse number 2, we begin the story about a simple little bush that burned with a supernatural fire. Excuse me. And I want you to look with me. Look in verse number 2. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, I want you to think with me. I'll use your imagination. A bush burning in the desert was nothing really noteworthy. Bushes in the desert, they burned all the time. The sun was hot, the sand was dry, and no doubt Moses had seen a bush on fire before. But there's something about this particular bush that catches Moses' attention. It catches his attention. He passed by it, you know, maybe 100 times. It had been on that mountain who knows how long. But on this day, church, it caught his eye. It caught his eye. And Moses, he looked up on that mountain and sees this little bush. He looks up and it's on fire. And no doubt the light from the fire was bright. Maybe the heat from the fire was hot. I would say that it was very alluring as the flames were rolling from the bush. And Moses went to tend to the sheep. He'd go and then he would look back up on that mountain and that bush was still burning. He goes back to the sheep and up again and the bush is still burning. He looks up a little while later and the bush is still burning. And it begins to intrigue Moses. And I can see as he's thinking, I've got to go check this thing out. Surely by now it should have turned to ashes. It should have gone out, but that bush is still on fire. Can you imagine how interesting that could have been? How intriguing that could have been? How it piqued the interest of Moses in just that little old bush? Because it didn't burn like any other bush. It didn't burn for just a moment and then just fizzle out. It didn't burn for a time and grow dim. It didn't burn for a little bit and just vanish away. It was burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. And Moses said, I've got to go figure out why this thing is burning. Now here's what I like. The Bible doesn't tell us how long the bush burned before Moses saw it. It doesn't tell us how long it burned after Moses left the mountain. It doesn't tell us the effect that fire may have had on that bush. All we know is that God put that bush on fire for a purpose. And he put that bush on fire at a certain point in time, and he put that bush on fire for a person. I think we can say that it was imperative in the plan of God that the bush did not lose his fire, nor did the flame die out. Don't you think? Everybody, am I making sense tonight? Everybody with me? Now you think about the fire in that bush. It wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. It probably wasn't comfortable. I mean, no other bush was burning like this particular bush. None of them. None of them was burning like that. But God set this bush on fire so that from that flame, the world could get a Moses. A deliverer come out of that fire. A leader come out of that fire of that bush. A preacher, a man come out of that fire. And can I say it is so important, church. It is so important, more than words could ever say, that that bush stayed on fire for Moses. Amen? Let me apply it and I'll get to the text. From time to time, God will allow me to go out and preach in different places. Just ordinary people, backside of the desert kind of people, if you will. To the world, they're nothing special, Brother Brad. To the world, they're nothing noteworthy. Nobody would step back and say, they've got something that I admire. Can I say to some Moses out there that is wandering through an empty land tonight, you might be the most important thing that God has ever planted in the pathway of their life. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is that it's never okay. It is never all right. There is never an opportune time for a Christian to quit on God. Never. Or to grow cold. Can I say this evening that somebody needs your fire tonight? Somebody does. Maybe you've got a child that needs your fire. Maybe you've got a grandchild that needs your fire. Maybe you've got a spouse, or maybe the church needs your fire. You've got a world, church, that we're living in that needs our fire tonight. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I live in the same world as you do. I know it's dark. And I know there seems to be a lot of reasons to quit tonight. But God has been too good to us, church. He's been too faithful to us. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's never changed. And listen, we've got heaven to gain tonight. Amen. Time is short. The work is great. The fields are white for harvest. Hell is hot. And there's sinners to be saved tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you this evening that it is not time for you and I to be dead tonight. It's not time for you and I to dry up on God. It's not time for you and I to grow cold. It's not time to be dead for God. It's time to burn, burn, burn for Christ and for the glory of God. The psalmist said, while I was musing, he said, the fire burned. The fire represents the power of God, church. The purity of God, the presence of God. And what I'm saying tonight is this. If you've thought about quitting, switch your thinking. Switch your thinking. If you've thought about falling back, switch your thinking. Can I say that every person in this building tonight, every person, and every person who will ever hear this message, it is now more than ever imperative that you and I not quit and stay on fire for God. Amen. I love the Bible. I love His Word. And one of the things that I love about the Bible is that it keeps record of people finding the will of God and doing it. And if there was ever a record of finding the will of God and doing it, it would be found here in Exodus chapter number 3. And yes, I know what you're thinking, that Moses found the will of God. Yes, but I'm not talking about Moses. I'm not talking about Moses. Brother Brad, I'm talking about the bush. I'm talking about the bush. You see, that bush is an inanimate object, and the inanimate is insignificant. Oh yeah, maybe so, but the inanimate object is not inanimate when an animate living God comes to live within it. There was a day that that bush didn't matter, Brother Brad. There was a day it didn't matter, but when God moved in, that bush mattered. It had a purpose. Can I tell you, there was nothing special about it. Nothing special about it. It'd been scorched by the sun. It'd probably been bent over by the wind, scarred by the sand. You wouldn't look up and say, oh, how beautiful. Look at that bush. You couldn't plant it in your landscape around your house. It was ugly. It probably just stuck out of the backside of nowhere. But there came a day when God took up residency in that bush. It was insignificant before, but now it's not significant because of its beauty, but it's because of the beauty of the one that's burning on the inside. And now the day when God came on the inside, suddenly that bush, it became a beacon. It became a billboard for the glory and the voice of God. And can I say this evening that I'm preaching to a group of people that the world would say we're probably not much to look at tonight, church. We're probably not much to look at, that we really don't matter. They'd probably say that we're on the fringe of fanatical, just a bunch of old broken lives. And oh yes, that's who we used to be. And I know that me and of myself, that I am insignificant. But there was a day, thank God, hallelujah, when I got saved by the marvelous grace of God. When a big animate God, he took up residency in my soul, Brother Revis, and he set my life on fire for his glory. And now all of a sudden, all those that seem not to matter, they now matter. They now matter. Those who were not significant, they're now significant. Not because of who you are, not because of who I am, but because of the one who lives on the inside of us. What I'm saying this evening is this, I beg you not to quit on God. I beg you not to quit on God. Every Sunday school teacher, thank God for the Sunday school teachers in this church. This church has been blessed with some great Sunday school teachers. I was somewhere this week. I'm trying to think of where I was. Friday night, we were in Knoxville and run across a brother that we knew. And he said, I know the adult Sunday school teacher at Emory Heights. And I said, Brother Jeff, he said, that brother is a good brother. And he knows the Word of God. What a testimony, Brother Jeff. What a testimony. Thank God for Brother Bobby and all these other teachers. Keep on burning for God. Don't quit. Every preacher, keep on burning for God. Hey, parents, don't quit. Your kids are watching you. Keep burning for them. Don't give up on God. Stay on fire for who God has in your life. Amen? Let me give you three quick things, okay, that Moses represents in this text. Number one, Moses represents a name that God might call. Look at verse number four. It says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now think about this. The fate of a nation changed that day by the simple calling of a name. From the burning branches of that bush, God speaks. And God calls out Moses by name. That was not the first time that Moses had been called. But that is the first time that Moses had heard the voice of God and God called his name. And what I thought was interesting is this. God didn't use a dead bush. He didn't use a cold bush. God did not use a bush with no fire. But it was from a bush that burned that God chose to speak. And I say that to say this. The reason that you and I cannot get cold on God and let our fire go out and give way to apathy is this. That God has never used a dead Christian to call another Christian. God has never used a dead preacher to call another preacher. God has never used a bitter believer to enlist another believer to do something for God. What I'm saying is this, that we have to stay on fire for God. Because who knows who it is or what it may be, who God might be working in their lives because they're watching you and they're watching me. And I thought about this. Saul was just a name until God called it. Right? Saul was just a name until God called it. Peter was just a name until God called it. Think about Brother Oliver B. Green was just a name until God called him. Brother Stennett Ballou, what a great preacher. Just a name until God called him to preach. You don't know who your kids may be tonight or who your grandkids may be. Or who all my kids may be one day if God blesses us with more. But I know if God calls their name, if God calls their name, I want them to know that I love God. And I want to serve God. And it's the greatest life in this world that there is to live. So that my little boy may know that it's worth it all to get involved in this thing. It's worth it, church. It's worth it. I've never seen anyone who wanted to play baseball because of the fellow who struck out. I didn't. I've never seen anyone who wanted to play football because of the guy who fumbles the ball. I've never seen anyone want to play basketball because of the boy who couldn't jump. Amen? But if you get around somebody and they're loving that sport and they're putting everything that they have into it and they're excelling in their game, I tell you, I like to hit sluggers like Babe Ruth, Brother Brad. I'd like to dunk a ball like Michael Jordan. I'd like to play football about whoever it may be the greats to play football. I want to do it because of the way that they did it. And can I say the same thing is true in the work of God? I've never seen a young man say, I want to be a preacher after sitting under a dead preacher who didn't study his Bible. But you get around to some old preacher who gets in the Word and he's been studying and they've got something burning from within them and they know what the book says and he's filled with the Holy Ghost when he gets behind the pulpit and he gets in the pulpit and he preaches. Church, I don't know about you, but when I see things like that, I say, man, I want to do that too. I want to do that too. Amen? Let me challenge you. Don't cave in tonight. Don't quit. There is no life. There is no life to live outside of this church. You get around the bush that's on fire, and when you see it burn, you're going to want to burn too. You're going to want to burn too. I've never seen a soul winner go out soul winning because of some dead, bitter, nagging soul winner. I never have. But you get around one that's on fire, you know what it'll produce? It'll produce another. I've never seen a Sunday school teacher birthed out of some dead Sunday school teacher that didn't have enough time to study. But you get around one that's alive. He's been in the book. He studied. He gets up here and he knows what he's talking about. You know what it'll do? it'll birth another one. What I'm saying this evening is this. You don't know who it is tonight, church, but I'll guarantee you that there's someone that God's already looking at to call into the work of God. But if you and I quit, then why would they want to join? Why would they want to be a Sunday school teacher or a preacher? That's why I say it's important that we stay on fire for God. Church, it doesn't matter if they cuss us. It doesn't matter if they slander us. I want to burn for God if I can. There might be one young man. There might be a young lady. There might be a family tonight that God's wanting to get a hold of. And they need me to burn so God can speak. Brother Brad, they may look at you. They may need you to burn. Brother Jeff, all of you, they may need you to burn. So we see a name, not only a name, but Moses represents a nation. Not just a name to be called, but a nation that is in crisis. Look in verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now wait a minute, as that voice begins to echo from within that burning bush, God gets straight to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush, so to speak. He reveals to Moses that, Moses, this is bigger than you. This thing's bigger than you. This is bigger than this moment. It's bigger than this mountain that we're on. There's an entire nation of people that is in great need of deliverance, and I'm fixing to get them out of their bondage. That bush burned, and from that bush, the nation of Israel got a deliverer that they needed. Can I say everything about their life was hard? It was hard. God had heard their cry, and that burning bush is about to enlist the answer to their problem. This evening, what I'm saying is this. If you'll just listen, you can hear the devil crack the whip across the back of this country that we're living in. You can hear the devil as he cracks his whip across the back of America, as they push agendas and they push mandates on us and they try to control everything that you and I do. We can hear the whip crack as the movements and the abominations to God, they march down the streets and they parade themselves in our cities. We can hear the whip crack as churches, they're closing every single day. And what I'm saying is this. I still love America tonight, church. I still love America. I love this country enough that if God would let me burn for this nation, I believe she's still worth fighting for. Amen? I still believe God would have us to be on fire for this country. I'm not a missionary to China. I'm not a missionary to Africa. And that's fine. But God has called me to plant my flag in this country and to fly it high right here to let my kinsmen know that Jesus saves and that sin has a cost and that they can get in. Amen? And I still believe that God can do something with this country if somebody would just get on fire for God. It's the church that needs it. And if you and I will get on fire, it might brighten up the blackness tonight, church. I love America. I love our Constitution. I love our history. I love what God has done. I love the grace that He has shown, because He has shown it. Can I say that amazing grace is just more than a song, but it's our heritage. I'm glad that the providence of God, it has guided us. Mercy has surrounded us, and God has protected us, church. I'm glad in our nation tonight that we can pray. I'm glad that we can pray. I'm glad that in our nation we can preach tonight. I'm glad that we can come to church and not have to worry about going to jail tonight. But we don't think about that, do we? We don't think about that. But can I say, as bad as it's getting, it's no time to tuck tail and run, church. This is a battlefield that we're living in. It's a battlefield. It's a fight. This thing is not a game. You can run if you want to. But by the grace of God, I want to stand and I want to stay. And I'm saying this evening that somebody ought to stay on fire for our nation. I hear folks complain. I hear them pout, and I hear them, you know, complain about America. But where's the one who's willing to be the intercessor? Where's the one out there willing to beat the bushes? Where's the one willing to be a preacher out in the highways and hedges, compelling them to come in, that Jesus saves? Let's not give up this evening, church. Let's not give up. Our country needs us. Our country needs us. Our state needs us. Harriman, Tennessee needs Emory Heights. Amen? But not a dead one. Not a dead one. Not a compromising one. Not one that's with messed up doctrine, but one that believes the book. Amen? And know who God is. Our nation needs our fire. I love our country. I love to see the old vets that still wears those hats saying where they served in Vietnam and Desert Storm and Iraqi, and on you could go. But I dare say that those men and women did not shed their blood on sandy beaches and dark waters, in jungles and foxholes and foreign fields for you and I to let our country go to hell here in our own neighborhood. If they can dodge bullets, minefields, and be away from their family and fight for our freedom, surely you and I can take a little bit of heat tonight, church, and lift high the bloodstained banner and let them know that Jesus will make you free and you will be free indeed. Amen? And I fear for our country. I do. I fear for it as we send all the missionaries through the foreign fields, because now foreign fields are sending missionaries to America. And these churches that are spread out across the South and across our country, for that matter, they're sitting there as dead as the cemetery is in the side yard here. It's sad. They've got pews and a pulpit, but they can't find a preacher. Amen? Nobody wants to get behind a pulpit and lead those churches. I say somebody's going to have to step up, and deep down in their soul, that God is still God. Amen? He's still doing a work in this day. Can I say we need to be on fire for this country? God help us to get a burden. We'll get upset about a president. We'll get mad about an election. We won't even attend a prayer meeting and pass out a gospel tract. I'm saying it's not time to get cold on America. We need to get on fire for our nation. Moses represents a name. Moses represents a nation. Number three, I like this one. Moses represents the next generation that's coming. Look at verse 15. After God had revealed to Moses that he was the I am in the previous verse, verse 15 says this: God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name. Check this out now. Forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So what is this burning bush doing? It is simply the megaphone, if you will, that God is speaking through. But God is revealing to Moses that, Moses, this thing isn't all about you. It isn't all about you. It's not just about Israel right now. He said, I'm going to be God for you. He said, I'm going to deliver them. He said, but I also want to be God for your children. He said, I want to be God for their children. And he said, I want to be God for their children, for generations to come. He said, I'm just not God today. He said, but I'm going to be God tomorrow too. I begin to think about that. All those Israelites that would become later. And then you and I who have been grafted in by grace. You know, we're all fruit of that little bush that burned on that mountain. Because out of that bush came Moses to proclaim to those people, who proclaimed the gospel to those people, that God is the I am and that God is the memorial from generation to generation. And the truth has been passed down. It's been passed down and passed down from generation to generation. And there's youngins that were going to be born that were going to need that moment on that mountain before they ever even drew their first breath. And here's what I'm saying. Just like a sledge, if you were to drive it deep into a stone, may God drive this down in our heart. That one of these days that you and I, we're no longer going to be here, church. If Jesus tarries, is coming. But there's some little ones that's coming up. There's some little ones coming in these pews and ones that have yet to be born that God knows all about that are going to need some leaders to show them what the Bible says. But if you and I quit today, they're not going to have nothing tomorrow. I'm burdened about that, Brother Brad. I'm burdened about that. The reason we cry out so hard against compromise is that compromise will steal everything away from the next generation. While the generation that compromises, it enjoys the carnality, the following generation, it reaps the bitter fruit of it. A selfless generation built these things that we enjoy today. Are you listening? And now a selfish generation is ruining it for the next generation. I thought about those men in days that have gone by that stood and they held the darkness of sin at bay in their generation that they were living in. They were hated. I think about men like Brother Rester Roloff. He was hated. You think about those men who just stayed. They stayed straight and they held it at bay. But had they not been willing to do that, we wouldn't have anything today. We wouldn't have anything today. We don't just do what we do for us. We're training them. We're training the little ones, the next generation that's coming. And the reason we have what we have today is that there were men who were willing to stand in the gap and hold it at bay. I'm sure there's been people think that it would have probably been easier to just quit and hang it up and throw in the towel. But if they would have, guess what? There wouldn't be anything for us today. What I'm saying is that we have to stay on fire for another generation that's coming. If Jesus doesn't come back, they're going to need a church to come to. They're going to need someone to teach them. They're going to need preachers. They're going to need teachers. They're going to need a pianist. They're going to need Sunday school teachers. They are the ones who are depending on us to hold the darkness at bay. I'm finishing up. Hang with me. Can I use the illustration of canning? Who's ever canned before? Vegetables and things like that. I see a few hands. What is it? It's preserving things, right? So every time that you go to an altar and you pray, every time you sing in the choir, every time that you teach Sunday school in these classrooms and in this auditorium, what are we trying to do? Is just preserve something. Just preserve it. That whenever we're gone one day, they can come in, open up, say, boy, you remember Brother Revis preaching. You remember the Sunday school teacher, Brother Jeff, that used to preach every Sunday morning. Or you remember Miss Krista and all the others that play the piano. You know what that will do? It might just encourage them to stay the course. It may just encourage them to stay the course. What I'm saying is that everything that we do, we're doing it for them. We're doing it for them, preserving things. And this evening, you might be saying, I think it may be time to back up just a little bit. Please don't. Please don't. Because one of these days, you're going to have kids, you're going to have grandkids, and they're going to need a church. They're going to need a church. Ones that we don't even know that don't even exist yet, that hadn't even drew their first breath, they're going to need a church. They're going to need a church. And so church, do all that we can. Do all that we can. We're going to plant and water that God will give the increase. We have to do our best to preserve it so that they can get something out of it in their day. I was thinking about that. A lot of people are just changing and quitting, Brother Brad. A lot of people are. I can't find that in the Bible. I can't find it. Don't quit, church. Don't quit. We don't know who needs us. We don't know who's watching you. I don't know who's watching me. Brother Jeff, I don't know who's watching you. I don't know who's watching you. Brother Revis, I don't know who's watching you. I know one who is. I know one who's watching you. Don't quit, church. Stay on fire. They're coming to the instruments for a verse of invitation tonight. I want to challenge you. I hope I've challenged you from the scriptures to keep serving God. Keep serving God. You say, preacher, I've grown cold. I've grown cold. Well, can I ask you what's made you grow cold? What's made you that way? You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. I pray tonight that you come to the altar. Ask God to rekindle that fire in your heart. Will you come pray tonight as we bow our heads? They're coming to play a verse of invitation as we stand across the building. Ask God to help us tonight to give everything that we have to the glory of God. I don't know who's watching us. Who knows who's around us that's watching us. But there's somebody who is. Somebody's watching us. There's a Moses out there somewhere. And it's our responsibility as children of God to help, encourage, preserve things, guide and direct those who are staying on fire for your Moses. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we've been challenged tonight. We may better serve you. Father, we may stay on fire for you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're singing a verse of invitation. If you need to come tonight, we pray you do so. Amen. Of God. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit tonight, church. Stay on fire. Amen. Brother Revis.
Enjoy the message. Say good amen. 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 Appreciate that. God does extraordinary things through ordinary things. God does great things to the least of things. The inanimate is insignificant until God dwells in it. Then it is significant. Praise God for that. Just be faithful to the Lord. Stay on fire. Appreciate the good message tonight. And come back. Be with us this coming Wednesday night. And 6:30 Awana program. Our Awana, this is our last full night, regular season night of Awana this coming Wednesday. You'd be praying for those kids over the summer. Pray that God would touch them, bless them, and give our teachers and workers in Awana some refreshment as well. Prepare them for the next season. Our VBS is coming up the first week in June after homecoming. Sister Michelle will be having a VBS meeting, not this coming Sunday, but the next, May 18th. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day, May 11th. We will be omitting our evening service on Mother's Day just so to give families more time together to celebrate that. And so you remember that. We typically have a second Sunday evangelism, nursing home ministry, but we'll omit that as well for Mother's Day. All right? Any other announcements before we dismiss?